Well, I didn't talk to or stop and think through what was going to be read from the scriptures tonight in Psalm 32, but in God's sovereignty, we are going to be touching on some of that tonight. But the topic tonight, and I wanted to give this to you tonight as part of the whole process of helping counsel people biblically, is I want to talk about sickness and the Bible. And I want to explore, what does the Bible say about sickness, physical illness, physical sickness? And so my goal tonight is to deal with that subject and to give you some reasons why we get sick, and then to help you to look at how you can counsel others, how you can respond, even if you are one of those people who face sickness. And by the way, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I really did think it would just be me and Reuben and you know, I know, you're not all Super Bowl fans. So thank you for coming out tonight. This is crucial because every one of us gets sick. And there are two reasons biblically why we get sick. The first is found in Genesis chapter 3. You know the chapter well, we won't turn there. But it is the result of the fall of man. It is the result of man turning his back on God and doing his own thing. Particularly if you do look, you might want to turn there. Let's go there and have a quick look at this. Genesis 3 and verse 16 says, "To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Down in verse 19, God says in the curse to Adam, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return." The simple fact is that every one of us here tonight and every human being that has ever existed is nothing more than, if you like, dust. From dust we were taken, and because of the fall, to dust we shall return. Now, the hope, of course, of the Christian and the hope of every man and woman and girl and boy who has put their faith and trust in God is that we have been given a new nature, and that nature is an eternal nature. It is a spiritual nature, and we have been changed into the likeness of the risen Christ and ultimately will be in the fullness of that in a day to come. But man chose to reject God, and so sorrow into the world, pain into the world in a greater degree than it was, and we see that there in this childbirth process, and man would sweat out his labor and ultimately he would die. There's two things true of every human being. One is you have to be born to be a human being. You have to be born a human being. Two is you will die. They are two guarantees. Someone said a third is you will have to pay taxes. Well, that's the reality of the fall. Come over to Romans 5, and here in Romans 5 we see under this heading, reasons for sickness in the general is the fall of man. But if you come over to Romans 5, you will see that Paul links this fall of Adam to every human being in the world. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin," that's what we just read back in Genesis 3, "and so death spread to all men because all sinned." It's kind of a double thing here. On the one hand, he's saying that through one man sin entered the world. We understand that. Sin came into the world through Adam, and death is a result of that sin. But it didn't stop there. It spread to all men. And I like this little phrase, because all have sinned. Don't think that it's unfair that you became a part of a fallen race because of Adam's sin, when in actual fact, as it says here, you are like your father, Adam. You sin like he sinned. So you are just as culpable or responsible for that sin. Sin entered the world, the result was death. That's what's behind every sickness and every ailment we have, is our fallen nature. If man had not fallen, there'd be no sickness. Imagine that. Imagine that. No doctors, no life, and no health insurance, just would be fantastic. Well, the day's coming when every believer will experience that. No more pain, no more crying, no more sickness, and we will be in the presence of our Lord. So in general, the Bible says that the reason for sickness is the result of man's sin, the fall, and ultimately our sin as those who are born of Adam. But specifically, we see that the Bible also addresses some other reasons for sin. Come over to James 5, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 15. This whole section here is on those who are sick. And James is explaining to these believers here what they should do. Go back to verse 14 for the context. If anyone among you is sick, then he must call the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sin one to the other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can avail or accomplish much. There's no escaping the reality that as James unfolds this whole realm of sickness here, that he connects it to sin. When it comes to sin in the lives of those who are scattered abroad, he says that one of the results of that sin is sickness. The Apostle Paul tells us, the Apostle James tells us here to confess your faults to one another and to pray for one another that you may be healed. And I want you to understand that. One of the purposes for why we pray for one another is for healing. But are we praying for healing? Not in this context. We're praying for faith. For the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. In other words, you're lifting this other believer up before God and you are praying in faith, in the faith that this person, because of their sin, will turn from it. And the pathway they've been, they will turn from their sin and they will walk in a right way and be healed. Another passage that speaks to this area of personal sin, of course, is 1 Corinthians 11. Come back to 1 Corinthians 11. And verse 30, this is a verse that should wake you up and challenge you if you are walking in sin. Here in the church of Corinth, there were many who were sick. And Paul writes and he says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number die or sleep. That's his expression for dying. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Here we see again that one of the specific reasons for sickness in a Christian's life is sin. And we need to take that into consideration when we do get sick. It's not the only reason, but it is a reason that we should explore before the throne of God's grace. Why? Because God judges us in this way so that, as it says here, we will not be condemned along with the world. God allows sickness to enter our life to wake us up. It is, as C.S. Lewis said, it is God's megaphone to us. I remember visiting a lady in hospital. I was evangelizing in a town in New Zealand, and someone who came along to one of those meetings came up to me afterwards and they said, Andy, just wondering if you or one of your team would be prepared to come to the hospital and pray for my sister. And I said, gladly, I'd love to do that. And so we made a time and three of us went the next day to visit this woman. And I was told before I walked in the door not to be shocked, and I was told that this woman had not talked in 4 years. And that whatever she had stopped her ability to communicate. And so you can imagine her sister was greatly grieved by this. The doctors had done every test possible and could not find what was wrong with this woman. They just knew that she couldn't communicate. And so she lay in a hospital bed, unable to communicate, sleeping mostly, but there she was. So we went in, and in the process of our time there, we read the scriptures. Someone read the scriptures. Someone shared their testimony of how those scriptures had impacted their life and how they had received Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. And then I prayed for this woman. And in the midst of my prayer, she sat bolt upright and she spoke out loud for the first time in 4 years. I don't remember the conversation. I remember all that she said, but she was filled with anger and rage and bitterness. And when I stopped praying, she lay down again and she spoke not one more word the time we were there. And I believe, looking back on that situation, that here was a woman who had allowed sin to enter her life and God had laid her on her back as a judgment in the hope that she would not be condemned along with the rest of the world. The Bible also speaks about natural consequences. We're talking about specific things here. Christians, we've just seen, because of sin, get sick. But there are natural consequences too as believers of sin. If you go out and spend your life drinking alcohol, then there will be natural consequences that go along with the abuse and the excesses of alcohol. And also drugs and any other food for that matter that you want to get into in excess, there will be results. You will face maybe heart disease. You will be slowed down in your life. You may become obese depending on whether you love certain foods or not. You may even experience certain cancers as a direct result of certain practices, sinful practices. You may even get ulcers, because you live in a world of anxiety rather than casting all your cares upon the Lord. All of those natural consequences are not distinct or separate from your walk as a Christian and your relationship with God. God will allow natural consequences to happen in your body to stop you, to wake you up, and to call you back to a right relationship and a right life with Him. That's personal sin. But let's look at the divine purposes here. Why does God then allow this? We've looked briefly at the fact that because He doesn't want us to be condemned along with the world. But come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. God allows certain sicknesses in our lives for a number of purposes. One is so that we won't be condemned along with the world. But here in 2 Corinthians 12, 7, we read of a certain sickness that Paul had. And he writes, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me and to keep me from exalting myself. Now we learn from that verse that God is in the business sometimes of inflicting pain in our lives. Why? For the purpose that we will not exalt ourselves. In the case of Paul, he had been taken to the third heaven, or into the heavens. He had seen things that he could not describe, that were so unimaginable, that blew his mind, and God gave him this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was like, but we know it was painful. We know he begged the Lord 3 times to remove this thorn, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is perfected in weakness. And what's Paul's response? Down there in verse 9, halfway through, he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. you may be inflicted with some pain. It may be, as some suggest here with Paul, that the pain is that there is a messenger, a person who is in some way controlled by Satan and his minions, whose goal and his target is to make you your life an absolute misery. And they are there at every turn firing the darts that they can fire at you. Maybe that. It may be, as some suggest here, that Paul was inflicted with some eye disease. Remember, he wrote to, well, I think it was Colossians, one of the churches that he went to, and he said, "You put up with me," you know, even though physically it was hard to look at him because of this eye problem that he had. And the point that needs to be identified here and focused in on here is that we are prone to exalt ourselves. We are prone to pride. And as Christians, we have been given the mind of Christ, and the glories of God have been revealed to us to one degree or another. And it is easy in the process of seeing those glories and experiencing the grace of God in the sense of the great things that God has prepared for those that love Him. It is easy to become proud and think that no one else out there deserves it but you. Or to speak from a position, from a higher position than others, and to forget who you really are. Well, secondly, we see from, as I said before, 1 Corinthians 11:30, that sickness was designed to, as a judgment for sin, to deliver people from that ultimate condemnation. The point is this, that there is no doctor or physician who can overcome that kind of infliction. If God has put a thorn in your flesh, if God has allowed a sickness in your body, if God has let some kind of pain, painful experience enter your life, no physician can help you overcome that problem. No physician can overcome that problem. There is no medical answer. I had a friend who got involved in some fairly heavy sin, and he was driving home from work one night, 30-mile drive, and halfway home, he felt that something was crushing his chest. He thought he was having a heart attack. He drove to the hospital immediately, which was only some 5 minutes away. He managed to keep his presence of mind, staggered into the ER, and they asked him what was wrong. He said, "I can't breathe." They stuck him on oxygen. The doctor came immediately. They put him through a barrage of tests. And 4 hours later, they came back to him and said, "Sir, we find nothing wrong." They did stomach checks. They put things down inside him. He didn't tell anyone he'd sinned. I was there the day that happened. I heard he'd been rushed himself into hospital. I went to the hospital. He looked terrible, absolutely terrible. And when I asked him, you know, had he eaten anything? No. Had he been doing anything that he shouldn't have been doing? No. There was just pride, and he was trying to cover it all up. Well, not long later, that same man is involved in the same kind of sin again. And it's ongoing, and this time he's further from the hospital when he has the same kind of attack. Now, if you were to talk to the medical world today, they would say, well, he was perhaps having a panic attack. Okay. Again, he admits himself to the hospital. This time he's in for several days. Again, after major and extensive exploration and tests, they said, "You can go home. We find nothing wrong with you. There's no explanation for what you're experiencing. Go home, rest up, don't work," etc., etc. About a month later, that man is in a prayer meeting in someone's home, and I asked him to pray, to lead out in prayer. And he never got to pray that prayer. The phone called as we bowed our heads to pray. His phone called. He said, "Sorry." He flips it open, or he looks at it, and he flips it open, and he listens to a phone call, and he went white as a sheet. And he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I have to go." Without any explanation, he gets up and he leaves that house. So I said, well, let me pray for you as you go. I'll be praying for you, and please call us back and let us know what's happening. That night, I visited him and his son in hospital. His son had been in a serious car accident and was lying on a hospital bed, and his dad was by the bed, and he did not look well at all. It was only about a month after that 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 man was exposed for living an adulterous lifestyle while being an elder in a church. Don't fool with God. Don't play games with God. When God wants to wake you up to where you're at, he will use physical sickness. And he will bring you low. Now we know that, don't we? Because we read it tonight from Psalm 32. David said that his body wasted away. David says that it was like the inside of him was drying up. There was no life anymore. God will use sickness in our lives. An example of this in the Old Testament is found in King Asa, king of Judah. He was the most godly king to sit on the throne of Judah after the kingdom was divided into Hezekiah and Josiah. Through his leadership, great spiritual revival and reformation came to the nation of Israel. One of the most God-honoring prayers found anywhere in Holy Scripture was uttered by him in 2 Chronicles 14:11. And you can look at that in your own time. However, when Baasha of Israel invaded his land, he panicked. When Baasha invaded his land, he panicked and he went to the king of Syria for help rather than trusting in God. The prophet Hanani rebuked him in 2 Chronicles 16, and he reacted in wounded pride. He put the preacher or the prophet in the house of stocks and he tortured him. And what did God do to that? Because he wouldn't repent, God diseased this man in his feet, and he was no longer able to walk, and he remained out of fellowship with God for 3 years. The doctors could do him no good, and he died after 2 years of severe illness. And 2 Chronicles 16:21 records, yet in his diseases he sought not the Lord, nor but he sought the physicians. Don't do that. If you know that there's sin in your life and you are in sickness, don't go to the physicians. Go to God. Go to the great physician who's able to heal your soul as well as your body. Well, there's another reason the Bible gives why God allows sickness. And that's found in John 9. Come over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 1 through 4 reads, "And as he passed by," this is speaking of Jesus, "as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he would be born blind?'" Blindness is a sickness. It is an illness, if you like. It is, in this case, something that was inflicted in this man's life from birth. And his disciples are wondering, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And just understand, that was the teaching of the day. The teaching of the Pharisees of the day was that if there was sickness in your life, then it was either due to your sin or the sin of your parents. Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So, this man is born blind from birth. He's blind. He's never seen anything in his life. And Jesus says it is for this purpose that the works of God might be displayed in him. Here's another reason for sickness: the glory of God, the works of God. You know the story. Jesus calls the man to himself. And he puts some clay on his eyes and he says to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is called Sent or translated Sent. So he went away and he washed and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying to them all, I am the one. I'm the one. I was that beggar. And so they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went away and washed and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. You know the situation carries on and you have the Pharisees' reaction to that. Because it was done, this healing was done on the Sabbath, they were out to get Jesus, and they certainly didn't believe that this was a work of God. And I love the response of this man. He simply says to these people, let me find it here. He answers verse 25. He answers, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. This is referring to Jesus. They were calling him a sinner. He says, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And so they said to him, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? They reviled him and they said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. The arrogance, the response. But God used this situation, this sickness in this man's life to display his works, his power, and his glory. In John 21, verse 18 to 19, come over to there, John 21. We see the same thing here. In verse 18 of John 21, Jesus says, just been rebuking, if you like, in a gentle and a loving way, Peter. In verse 18, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you. And they will bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said to signify, by what kind of death he would glorify God. Even in death, Jesus is saying to Peter, there is a certain death that is coming that is sovereignly decreed for your life, so that in the midst of this, you will glorify God. John 11:4, the story of Lazarus and following. You know the situation. We don't need to read it. This man was sick, and Mary and Martha sent for Jesus and said, come and heal my brother who's sick. Martha and Mary and Lazarus were very close friends of Jesus and vice versa. Well, Jesus delayed, and he didn't go immediately. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had died, and he had been in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus used that man's death to display the greatness and the glory of God. This sickness, Jesus says, is not unto death. What Jesus was simply saying is that this death will not be the final outcome of this man's illness. Instead, Lazarus will rise from the dead. That's the glory of God right there. Even though the ultimate glory of God will result from those in this situation, from those who are stricken with sickness by the Lord for this purpose, they may not know the time, and you may be one of these, you may not know the time when God is inflicting this upon you. As I thought about this week, I couldn't help thinking of Job. Job was one such man who God inflicted pain and suffering and sickness in his life. God allowed Satan to have his way with him, except for death. Job repeatedly in that process said, why? Why me, Lord? God never answered that question. God just revealed His glory and His greatness and His power. And that caused Job to fall on his face and repent for even daring to ask the question or to speak to the situation. God wants the glory in our lives. He wants to emanate His life through us, and He will do so, and He will deal with us for His glory if He so chooses. These are all reasons. These are all clearly biblical reasons why we get sick. One, because we, of the fall, we are of human nature. We are like Adam. We will die. Two, because we ignore God and we go our own way and we choose to fill our lives with all kinds of personal sin. And so we reap sickness. Some of that's just a result of what we're doing directly. Others, it's a result of bringing that comes to the spiritual side of us, as in James, and the need for the prayer of faith is there. Sometimes it's sickness simply because, as we've seen, God wants to wake us up to our life and to our lifestyle and deliver us from ultimate condemnation, or condemnation along with the world. And as we've seen here, sometimes it's for His glory. All of these are biblical reasons why we get sick. How should we respond? How should we respond to sickness, to illness? Well, we should respond rightly. We should respond in a way that honors the Lord. Firstly, you can't necessarily change the circumstances that you're in, but you can change your response. You can't necessarily stop the sickness from having and taking its course, or the illness from taking its course in your life, but you can change the response that you're having to the illness. Psalm 32 highlights that clearly. In Psalm 32, halfway through, we saw there, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. Verse 5, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found, for surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. David understood the importance of confessing sin, of responding rightly to the illness, of seeing his sickness as being a result of his sin and dealing with that. But more than that, it's just responding to illness in general in a right way. Knowing that God is sovereign, knowing that God has allowed this to come into your life. I mean, imagine that you were Job. You didn't see what we see in Job's life. As we read through the book of Job, we see the whole situation from God's perspective. Job didn't see that. And it may well be that if God so chooses you to suffer and to go through a period like Job, that God is doing a work in the heavenly realms and He's winning a battle and He's glorifying His name. Don't miss that. Evaluate your sickness in this way. Evaluate it firstly by asking, is this just a sickness that relates to the fallenness of mankind? By the way, that's probably the most common reason for sickness. It's just a part of the fall. I mean, look at the flu that we've all had in this church. It's just run through this church at all kinds of levels. People who've never got flu before have got sick with this latest flu. There are viruses and there are bugs and there are allergies out there, and they're everywhere. And it's hard to avoid those things. It's just part of the fall. It's just part of the world we live in. But then remember, ask yourself this question. Is this sickness that I'm experiencing, is this illness I'm experiencing, could it be a part of an illness that God is allowing in my life because of a sin or sins that I have not been willing to confess to Him? Or is God allowing this sickness in my life to prevent me from continuing in this sin, and so save my soul and deliver me from ultimate condemnation? Or is the sickness for the cause and the purpose of bringing glory to God? So you need to have the right reasons when you think about your sickness. But more than that, you need to have the right attitude. You need to have the right attitude. Ephesians 5:20 tells us that we're always to give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, except sickness. Is that what your Bible says? Give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it may seem difficult to thank God in the midst of pain and in the midst of misery, in the midst of discomfort. But when something unpleasant is used to make us into something that is more profitable and sanctifies us in some way that God can use us in a greater measure for His glory, then that is something we can thank God for, is it not? Last year, I had a couple dear friends of ours who we met down at Grace, and they had a little daughter. And when I first met this family, when they told me the age of the daughter, I thought, wow, she's like a little peanut. She was just this little skinny thing, you know. And I said to Barb, the first time we met them, I said to Barb as we were going home, do you think that little girl's okay? Because she seems very small for her age. And Barb said, well, her mum's pretty small. And I thought, yeah, she is. She's pretty small too. And hadn't really thought about that. And maybe it's just genetic. And well, as it turned out, this little girl had some specific disease. I can't remember what it was, but it required a total bone marrow transplant. And if you know anything about that, that's a very painful process. And the chances of her actually coming through that operation were around 50% and lower. And we became a part of an email that went out regularly about once a week, and through that whole process, sometimes even more than that. And I was greatly encouraged. I was greatly encouraged by these parents who saw the life of their little child just drifting away from them. And they had to make this decision, do we put her through all of this pain and then maybe lose her? In the midst of this operation, in the midst of this surgery and all that's going on, and we lose her, or do we step back and just let it go on until she dies? What do we do? And they made a choice and a decision to take her through that painful pathway. And there were many tears, and there were many moments in the process of that whole surgery where that little girl's life was hanging in a slender thread before God. And in every situation, this couple thanked God. And it was a testimony. I don't know how many hundred people they sent this out. They sent this email out to unbelieving families, and they gave the glory to God, and they spoke honestly of the pain and the hurt and the tears and the difficulties that they were in, and the pain and the difficulties that this little girl was in. In the midst of it all, in the midst of all of that pain, they looked heavenward and they gave God the glory. Not God. They didn't give God the glory for the sickness, but they gave God the glory that through the sickness they could put their trust and their faith in a God who has promised He would sustain them. And that was a tremendous testimony to me. And maybe you'll be called on to live a life and to give that kind of testimony. Not only do you need to have the right reasons as you think about your sickness and the right attitude, but you need to ask the right question. How can this illness be used to glorify God? You need to recognize the truth of John 9:3, that what glorifies God is what is best for the sick person, and it may not be getting better. You understand that? Getting better may not be what is best for the person. We, in our finite, in our natural way of thinking, and our natural desire to hold on to people we love and not to lose them, we want a cure. We want the sickness to go away. We want that person to be made whole again. And yet, in God's economy, it may be that he gets the greater glory from this person's life by that sickness running its course, that illness running its course to the grave. We need to evaluate our own goals in the midst of sickness. Do I want the glory of God more than anything else? Is that what I want? Or do I want to get better more than anything else? See, that's the challenge that we face as believers, is it not? Remember what Paul said at the end of his pleading the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. He said, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the glory of God might be magnified or seen in a greater way. We all know Johnny Erickson Tata. If you don't, she's been around a lot of years. This lady was, I think, 18 years of age when she dived off a platform in a lake on a beautiful day. And as she dived in, she hit the bottom of the lake, snapped her neck, and became a paraplegic. And almost a quadriplegic. She has a little movement in her upper arms. And this girl was a bright, bright 18-year-old. She was at the top of her school. She was one of these athletic kinds of people. She loved horse riding, and they had a ranch, and that's what she did in her spare time. And all of a sudden, she finds herself sitting or lying on a bed with pins and halos holding her there. And she had to lie in that still position for months on end. And she'd professed to be a Christian prior to this time, and through this dark period of her life, she came to realize that the real issue in her heart was that she wanted life the way she wanted it and not the way God wanted it. And when God finally broke that down and she came to the point and yielded her life to God, then God opened up opportunities for her to minister all over the world. That little girl, I think she's about 5'2". In stature, normally, as she stands now, she's shrunk a lot, obviously. A small person, but boy, she has an amazing voice, and she has a huge heart for God, and God has taken her right around this globe ministering to people all over the place. She has a ministry that supplies wheelchairs and medical aids to third world countries, and she runs that with a team of people. She runs it. And she glorifies and she thanks God that he brought her to this place where he could use her for his glory. That's incredible to me. We also need to understand what Joseph understood. That although others may have meant evil against us, because sometimes the sickness that we receive is a direct result of the anger and the aggression of other people. Though others have meant evil against us, Joseph could say to his brothers, God meant it for good. See, that's the attitude that we need as we think about how to glorify God in our sickness. Job said to his wife when she said to him, curse God and die, he turned to her and he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And in all of this, it says, Job did not sin with his lips. There's always a way of escape, even in sickness. There's always a pathway to glorify God. Not necessarily deliverance from the sickness, but victory in the sickness. You need to take responsibility in the midst of sickness, no matter how you feel. And no matter what you're experiencing, you need to take responsibility and you need to yield your heart to God. Now, why have I shared all this tonight? Because we live in a society that has a victimization mindset. And you will meet people who feel they are victims of their circumstance and victims of this illness that they have, and there's nothing they can do for God. And people who think like that have failed to understand the principles that I've just walked you through. It doesn't matter if you're bedridden, home-ridden. It doesn't matter if you're just ridden all over. At the end of the day, God gives you a way of escape from a wrong response to that sickness to a right response to that sickness, to glorifying Him, and in the midst of that sickness, finding victory in God. And so I come back a full circle and I say to you tonight, it is not the illness that's the issue or the sickness that's the issue, but it is your response to that illness. And as we've seen tonight, God wants us to yield our lives to Him and to glorify Him, to thank Him in every situation. May God help us to do that. And as we counsel people, as we come across sick family members and people that we have friends that we know who end up in hospital and we come alongside them, alongside the hospital bed, remember that there are at least four different reasons for why they could be there. And pray and explore and gently come alongside them. And if they're in this mindset of woe is me and I'm a victim, then help them to see how they can glorify God in the midst of that sickness. I visited Mike Diaz a number of times when he was in hospital and in the rehab, and I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that Mike, with all his faults and failings and all his struggles in life, as he's going through that whole process, I'm sitting there in this rehab room and there's probably half a dozen other people in that room, and there was only one man with a smile on his face, and that was Mike. And he can't even stand up. At that point, he's rolling around, he's flailing around like a whale, and he's just, and he's smiling, and when he falls off the, I wanted to save him from falling off the soft thing onto another mat, and he falls off there, and I go to help him. He goes, no, it's all right. He says, I've got to learn this. I've got to learn to get back up. And he says, you know, this is part of the deal here. But he's witnessing all the time. We sat down, we played a game with six other people, and he was the only guy who had any hope, who had any future, and he had a smile. Why? Because he trusts in a God who's much greater than the circumstances he found himself in. And you can do the same. You can do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this brief little study tonight. And we thank you that, Lord, it is a challenge to us that we would, in the midst of life and the challenges of life, whether we find ourselves in physical sickness, Lord, that we would be challenged to examine our own hearts and to see the source of that sickness. Is it because of sin? Is it because of the fall of mankind and just the fact that we are made of dust and we will all die? Is it because, Father, you are trying to wake us up to the issues in our lives and turn us around so that you might deliver our soul from ultimate condemnation? Or is it, Father, that you are wanting to bring glory to your name in the heavenly realms? And so we just pray, help us to be alert to these reasons for sickness that you have given to us in your word, and help us to live in such a way that in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we will give you the glory and we will be a people who always, in every circumstance, give thanks to you. We trust you, we love you, and I pray that this week will be a week where we'll live for you in such a way that people will have no other explanation for what they see but you, Lord, in our lives. We pray this for your glory, and we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.